All right, welcome back to the Jimmy's Army podcast, about the OKC Energy by Energy fans. Daniel back here with you guys for this week's podcast, along with Tyler Williams. What's up?
Hello.
Ryan Hernandez, what's up?
Howdy, y'all.
Edward Martz, what's up?
What's happening?
We got a packed crew this week.
Full house.
Full house. And in case you guys didn't know, there was a lot that happened this week. I feel like it was a full week. So, actually 2 weeks. So, thank you for being patient. A couple of us were down in Dallas for the Gold Cup game. Eddie, what up?
What up?
Shout out.
We tried to organize it for the Sunday, but we couldn't. So, we apologize. But we figured America would be as good a reason as any to skip a podcast. So, we appreciate you guys. We will cover all the matches that we missed. And we have quite a topic to discuss this week. So,
I'm not quite sure what you're talking about.
Should we be silent for it? Just like dead air on the podcast, like the whole time? Just, I don't know.
Just an hour and a half of nothing.
Nothing, silent protest.
Extended moment of silence.
I'm pretty sure I haven't been that quiet for that long in my entire life.
Yeah, you were kind of a jerk the whole time because I was getting upset and you were like pulling me down and covering my mouth with your dirty hand, which was terrible.
I wash my hands regularly, thank you.
Regularly in the morning and then regularly the next morning.
All day, baby, all day. I got to make sure these bad boys are clean.
All right, so we got a lot to go over this week. We'll recap Orange County, both Orange County games versus the Energy. We'll recap in between those two games, the LA Galaxy 2 game. We'll preview the last game of the Black Gold Derby.
Yeehaw.
It's about oil. Do something energy related. So, very good, Eddie. So we'll preview that game.
That was awful.
Goofballs. I got goofballs with me. So,
how do you make pumping sounds?
Exactly.
Okay.
And finally, what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit about the main subject of this podcast. In case you guys weren't there, the supporters group was very loud and boisterous against the Orange County?
Question mark?
I asked that like a question?
Yeah, there was at least 4 minutes of just screaming.
Yeah, there was. There was 4 minutes of it, but what happened the 90 before?
I shut my mouth.
Well, I mean,
first time for everything.
There was a lot of cheering around the moments when they were throwing t-shirts to the crowd.
Yes.
I feel like they did that more than normal too. For some reason,
can we just wait for this though? Can we just?
Yeah.
Let's hold on.
Sorry.
Let's savor
it. We're all pretty fired up for it. So, before we get started and everything we got to talk about this week, boys, what do you think?
I think a lot of things.
He doesn't.
Very good. So we got some local brews in. You guys want to go through what you got? Eddie?
Drinking Polar Night Stout by Rough Tail.
Midwest City.
I, Ryan Hernandez, am drinking the Mustang Rocket Fuel IPA.
My name is Daniel, and I'm the stunt man. Sorry, go ahead, Tyler.
I am drinking Rough Tail's 12th Round.
Very good. And I'm going with a European flavor. I have the Pilsner Urquell from Plzeň, Czech Republic.
Pilsner Urquell. I feel it should be mentioned that Friday or Saturday, Coop had a tap room thing, but
Anthem started that new beer.
Anthem revealed their new energy beer, the Upper 90 IPA.
Yeah.
Name credit partially
or maybe entirely should go to Brian Percival. He was one of the first people to post that idea as far as beer names go. But it's a heck of a lot better than the other two options that they gave.
I didn't mind the EPA. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, the EPA was cool, but the
Bruised Shins was awful.
It's terrible.
It was terrible. It was spelled bruised like brewing beer, not bruised as in I got a bruised shin.
I half expected it to win just because I don't know.
Besides, that's advocating violence, and we don't do that at Energy Games anymore.
That's right.
Plus, they're required to wear shin guards, so
that's vulgar. Anyways,
real quick question: isn't Brian part of the supporters group that felt that this silenced themselves?
He did. Brian Percival, shout out for being silent. For an Arsenal guy, you're not half bad. And yes, he was one of the many that were quiet. So yeah, let's go ahead and jump into the Orange County game. The first one, what was it, July 1st, right, guys? Yep. We took a trip down to Orange County, lost 1-0. Midweek match, kind of tough. So what did you guys think about the game?
I think it was a pretty disappointing game as far as our performance goes.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't good. I mean, they scored in the 32nd minute. It was an ugly goal. I mean,
oh yeah,
thanks. I mean, that was actually my ugly.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
sorry.
Just trickled right through like what three defenders and right past Newton.
And the guy like the striker like totally mishit the ball. It like scuffed off the side of his shoe and still went in. So I mean, it was pretty brutal. But
I mean, to be honest, there wasn't really that much good that happened this entire game, except for maybe after Turner got that red card, we kind of started to actually have an attack.
Right. Yeah, we went and we only had two shots in the first half, and then in the second half we had 9, which was we were really pressing the game. But
I'd say as far as good goes, since we kind of informally started this process, Evan Newton, despite giving up that goal, he had a fantastic game with amazing saves in the 10th, 28th, and 47th minute.
Did you read that off a script? Is that how that went?
He's prepared, which is more than we can say for you, Tyler.
I'm prepared to drink.
Got him.
So anyways.
We're brothers.
Yes, it was a very interesting game. Early goal there in the 32nd minute. From the Orange County Blues, and then after that, we really put the press on there towards the end of the first, really in the second half. Guys, did you see the pitch for that game? I mean, it's in Orlando, okay? I know that California is having, like, a water shortage, but the way the cameras were, like, situated, first off, it was, like, yellow grass pretty much around the entire field, but then there was divot marks everywhere. I felt like it was a driving range, like, it would divot marks everywhere. It was pretty gross.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Pretty sure we already discussed this in a previous episode about this drought, okay? Lots of farmers, they don't have water. You're trying to hit me home, aren't you?
Yeah, Daniel or Tyler is just a huge California fanboy, so disregard everything he says. We're trying to hate on old...
I think he was going for Orange County as well as L.A. in the second game.
Oh, no, you shut your mouth.
He's a huge Los Dos fan. Number one.
It's actually a L.A. Dua?
Dude.
Oh, sorry. Dude.
It's
L.A. Part Dude. L.A. Part Dude.
Kind of. That's kind of Jabron level right there.
Whatever, yes. Man. You know.
So, we digress. We'll go ahead and jump into the second match. Since good, bad, and ugly, we're pretty much covered there. We want to leave plenty of time to talk about the debacle the second time we played Orange County. So we did play on the quick turnaround on the 5th of July. We played LA Galaxy 2 there in LA. Another one of those games, it was, this has happened a couple of times. Koenig scores in like the 6th minute, and it's like
that's happened a couple of times. You're right.
We're just killing them, and then we don't get our shot the rest of the game.
It was actually a pretty big issue that we had at the beginning of the season, and something we talked about a lot was taking the lead and holding on to it which seems to be something that they've come back to in recent games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to Eddie because I think I took his storyline again, so I'll just let him go ahead and elaborate on that.
No, that was my bad this week, was Koenig's goal in the 7th minute, get another shot for the rest of the game. Pretty much said it exactly how I wrote it down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Probably offensively, that was our worst performance of the season.
Koenig had another shot off of a volley in around the 57th minute. That would have been an amazing goal had their keeper not made a remarkable save.
Okay, then whoever the stat keepers are awful.
One shot on goal the whole
game. Yeah, no, it wasn't going on goal, but the keeper did push it out.
Oh, so they did.
Yeah. I mean, there was actually a lot of that. Like there was a lot, but nothing really on goal.
Right, difficult game, boring game. Energy score again in the 6th minute by Danny Koenig. He's so hot right now, and he continues to remain hot. And LA 2 answers back in the 11th minute by Andre Arras. And from then on, it was scoreless. I mean, it was a pretty rough game. Offensively for us, you definitely want to have more than one shot on goal.
Yeah, but in the end, you can't really be too upset because we got a point on the road after a difficult road stretch for us, and that's against the team that is currently a team that is currently
at the top of our conference. Eddie, thoughts?
I'll go ahead and talk since Eddie is throwing a tantrum over here. That's kind of what my ugly touches on is. I mean, we went winless on this road trip. Yeah. Like, completely winless. The best we got was this tie, which, in my opinion, that's kind of a cold streak. But
I'm going to stop going over my good, bad, and ugly with you guys before the podcast if you're just going to steal them to talk about during.
I asked you what your good, bad, and ugly were, and you said why, so you can steal them, and then you proceeded to not tell me what your good, bad, and uglies were.
Here's the deal. Don't be fooled out there. Eddie didn't share his good, bad, and uglies with any of us. We all just took him because we're smart at this game too. So after
start making your uglies. Oh, they scored one goal and we scored none.
Yeah.
Oh, in other news in the MLS, Tyler's favorite player, Steven Gerrard, had his first game with his favorite team.
I hate him.
And almost immediately was the cause of a Club America goal.
Oh, no, it was beautiful, too. It was so hilarious.
He didn't slip this time,
the
though.
The laziest guy out there. He
did
was
I steal
so
it again, Eddie?
He didn't do much of anything.
Wait, are you going to talk about that? No, I'm going to talk about him slipping.
This is amazing. Let's see if I just continue to go over Eddie's storylines the whole time. So
I think we should probably never hang out again. And then this wouldn't happen.
Eddie, we all watch the same stuff, man. Like, I don't know what you like. I don't know what you expect from me, man. But anyways.
Yeah, man.
That ended a tough road streak where we did not win a game. But we did draw, which was a solid draw against LA Galaxy 2's pretty good team in their building around all their raucous fan. So coming back home, last game so far, Saturday, July 11th, we got the Orange County Blues again, playing them twice in the span of 10 games. And what an exciting game it was. The crowd was electric. The team was up for it. There were goals, and that's all that happened, right?
That's pretty much it.
And pretty much that concludes our podcast for this week.
Appreciate you guys listening. So we had a goal early from Orange County in the 20th minute. Koenig, he's so hot right now, continues to be hot right now, scored in the 37th to tie it up at ones. Then OC comes back with a goal in the 51st minute. Then finally, that man, Danny Koenig, again scores. Now, the ball that was played into Koenig was brilliant.
Oh, wasn't that Great Balls played that?
No, it was Townsend.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Townsend.
And I got to say, not cheering allowed me to actually experience that.
We gave him a hearty thumbs up.
We did.
which was the hardest thing ever, to not stand up and cheer for a goal like that.
God, I know.
Hey, Daniel, I just want to tell you that my good for this game was Townsend's ball into Koenig for his 13th league-leading goal.
So, he's about to set this house on fire.
I swear I'm not doing this on purpose. I cannot see your sheet of paper that has your notes on it, dude.
I'm just going to leave. Is that all right? You guys got this tonight?
Yeah, man, we don't even need you anymore.
Yeah, we got this pretty much.
Clearly. Right. Yeah.
No, we're just about to get to the good part, though. Seriously.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
We have no idea what Eddie's going to say during this next segment.
I might even say a bad word.
You better not.
Eddie, don't get upset.
We'll ask you to leave.
We all share similar ideals about what we're going to talk about next, so don't get offended, okay? We're all on the same team.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to let Ryan talk. Go ahead and keep going, Daniel.
getting back on
track.
This was
a very exciting game. there was a lot of shots, a lot of offense in this game, kind of a back-and-forth game. Energy ending up with 15 shots in the game, Orange County with 12, lots going on. What else do you guys think about this game?
Honestly, it kind of upsets me because this, like you said, was a very exciting game and could have been even more exciting if there was, you know, the supporters group cheering and going crazy, because this would have been a game that would have been great to go crazy to.
Yeah, yeah.
I do have to say that it was refreshing to see our team actually fight back from going down two goals. Well, we went down
one and then, yeah, I get what you're saying.
A goal each time and coming back to equalize it. That's not something we've
that doesn't
really
happen
been,
very often.
Yeah, we
right.
haven't really had to do that. And it's nice to know that we can.
Well, we have had to do that. We've done that.
Well, I mean.
So did you guys have good, bad, and ugly for this game?
Well, in the spirit of everything that's going on with you right now, Eddie, I'm going to have to say that that pass from Townsend to the Koenig goal was the bee's knees. It was
the bee's knees,
yeah.
Really, dude.
No, but I'm trying to be like
family friendly.
Family friendly.
Shucks. Shucks.
But no, the fact that Koenig is still hot, he had a brace. He took over first in the league in goals. I mean, we might have somebody who's going to just set a new record for us if he hasn't. He hasn't already, I don't think.
He's going to get the golden boot.
Didn't Koenig take over the goal-scoring lead in Orange County with his 11th goal?
Yes. Well, I'm sorry. I thought he tied Rob Vincent.
I thought he tied.
You would be incorrect.
Oh, he did take it over. Okay.
Wait.
Very nice.
Yeah, this most recent Orange County game.
Yeah.
Yes.
The one.
The first one he tied
the first
for the
one?
Lead. Yeah.
The first he one he didn't even score. Nobody scored in the first Orange County game. It was one.
Oh, it's the LA.
Galaxy.
Game.
The
Galaxy game. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the
wow.
Galaxy.
Wow. Nobody listened to Eddie because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
You can't even watch these
obviously.
Games.
Obviously. You even an energy fan? What?
Weird. So, yeah. So, yeah. Tyler, we're all energy fans, dorks. So, anyways. So that ended a tough road trip with a draw there at the end, and it starts a two-game homestand with a draw there. So we do turn around and play our arch rival, Tulsa, on Saturday, July 18th, and this game is for all the marbles, as they would say, the Black Gold Derby, because if we win or draw, we take home the silly trophy that they made.
For some reason, some Tulsa fans posting in one of their fan pages was under the impression that a win would draw everything up.
They're obviously foolish.
Yeah, they don't know simple math.
Math is hard.
No. And the guys who routinely talk to us from Tulsa aren't like the smartest dudes I've ever met or seen on social media before. So,
however, they are diehard podcast listeners, so we thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Well, in order to, since they do listen, explain it, we have two wins and a tie. They have no wins
and a
losses,
tie.
And a tie.
Yeah.
So you have to win both of these games in order for you to even have a chance.
They have two losses, not two.
Yeah, not, yeah.
That's what I said. No
said
wins,
two,
two losses.
So here's how math works, because I know math is difficult for people from Tulsa, but we have two games left. that means if we win this one, there's only one game left, and we would have won three games and drew one of them. Now, if we tied this game, we would also have two wins and two draws, and you would only have the possibility of one win in the last game. That's not enough to beat our two wins.
Yeah, but they said the last game was worse times.
Oh, of course it is. That's how it's going to be like every year. Once we've won three games and there's one game left. This one counts for triple.
It's like pickup and rec. Last goal wins.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Golden game.
It's like, dude, we've been shredding you. We're like up 22-3. We're not doing last goal wins. Like, we won. I don't care if you score. And inevitably, they always score, too. Like, the worst team always scores in last goal scenario. Anyways, I digress, but...
That's always my team. That's when I actually start trying.
So, I'll explain it again. If we win or draw this game, Tulsa, you don't have an opportunity to win or draw and catch up to us in the last game that we play during the season. It's not difficult.
Mathematically impossible.
Yes.
We may not like how your silly trophy looks, but we want it so that we can shove it in your face.
I'm going to do nasty things to it.
So are you saying there's no chance that Tulsa can win?
So you're saying there's no chance?
I can't believe we had to take all the time out of this podcast to explain that. But, yes, Saturday, July 18th, 8 p.m., big game. Winner draw.
It's actually 7 p.m., but...
Oh, it says 8 on USL. Sorry, that's probably Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, we're in Central Standard Time. I don't know, you know, time zones and all.
Thank you, Tyler. So,
science. I thought Oklahoma was on the East Coast.
Good one. Good joke.
Funny, Ryan. Stop it, you joke.
Sorry, I had your back there, Daniel.
And so this game is going to be very interesting, and let's talk about why. So who wants to talk about what's been going on? Eddie, how about since we stole all of your storylines, why don't you? No? Okay.
Eddie wasn't even here.
Eddie defers.
He wasn't even here.
That's why I love like having Eddie on the podcast, because I'm like, hey, Eddie, you want to talk? He's like, nah, I don't really care.
I care, but I'm going to silent protest the rest of this.
Yeah, okay, well.
We'll see how that lasts.
You have to start being quiet right now. You can't do it. Just watch. So, okay, I guess I will. So, prior...
You didn't even ask anyone else. That's kind of messed up,
man. Well, do you want to, Tyler?
Sure.
Why? You didn't actually put your hand up.
Well,
put your hand up and ask me if you can talk about it. No, Tyler, you can't talk about it.
I didn't even ask. I didn't even ask. I put my hand up.
Ryan,
that's all.
How about you talk about it?
Well, you see, back in 1889, Oklahoma was settled.
Tyler, go ahead. Why don't you actually tell us what's going on, please?
So, we had an issue.
So, big news this week.
I don't really feel comfortable letting Tyler do this.
Shut up, guys. We're going to let Tyler do this.
To be completely honest, all this kind of caught us by storm, or by surprise. It's just kind of, Yeah, it all kind of caught us by surprise. They set up a meet and greet with us on Tuesday, the day of a national team game. Like, oh,
why? What'd they do there?
Getting to that?
Can you let him talk?
Sorry, this upsets me.
It was told it was a meet and greet. Well, to me, it sounds more like an intervention. The way it occurred, like, here's what you guys are doing wrong, and here's someone to tell you how to do it right. And it happens to be the president of the Cauldron from Sporting Kansas City. Well, I'm sorry, we didn't ask you to show up. Well, he showed up, had his little PowerPoint presentation when no one knew he was coming, except for apparently them.
I believe they made an announcement whenever they announced the meeting initially.
They made an announcement like the day before.
In the original announcement, they just said that Jimmy was going to be there. That was it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, like, towards the end, it came out, but... By then, they didn't announce it on purpose because anybody with the brain would have understood exactly what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
So it was, hey, here's what you're doing wrong. And they did have some players come up and tell us, hey, this is what we like you guys doing. You know, we enjoy these sort of things, so you should keep doing these and doing more, which was mostly pertaining to chants directed towards individual players, which we've been working on getting more and more. Then that kind of put the leadership from the grid in this little
worry, I guess. I don't know what I'd call it, but
a tizzy.
The officers were basically told they need to stop cussing, which is stupid. I almost said something else, but it's stupid. So the grid officers decided individually, because they were going to be held responsible, that they were not going to sing any chants that had organized vulgarity.
Which is also wrong. Why are you going to hold them accountable for the actions of others? They can't control all of us.
We're getting to that, Tyler. We're getting to that.
No, it's okay. We can talk about it now. So, the next day. Now, keep in mind, all of this is being unveiled like a day before the Orange County game. So, like, we got a great amount of notice on this. They turn around and send the grid some guidelines.
We had to ask what the repercussions of this were.
Yes, yes.
They didn't just,
several times.
They didn't just divulge them. It's like we started a thing on Twitter and Facebook. You know, sad energy fans, and we
hashtag
were
sad energy fans.
We were wondering what they were going to do.
Hashtag not blessed.
Hashtag not blessed. We basically
hashtag no voice one city.
We basically had to go to them multiple times and ask what the repercussions are going to be. Cussing.
Yes. And so it turns out the next day they revealed those repercussions after we begged them for them through the grid. And those repercussions were, the first time is a warning, I guess. The second time, the grid president gets kicked out, right?
Unless he divulges.
Unless he tells who it was.
Then the third is a stadium ban, what, for the rest of the season. You lose your season ticket holder privileges. And they get reviewed the next season for if they're even going to let you have them or not. Now, that is, I don't even know how to say it without cursing. So, like, that's a slap in the face to all of us loyal people who show up to every freaking game. And I'm doing my best to keep this a family podcast, but it may not stay that way.
It wasn't even just that. It's the way that ownership presented it to us in the beginning.
Yes, yes.
Like telling us what we're doing wrong and how we're not pretty much not doing good, and then presenting the repercussions as well.
It's also a huge slap in the face to the interim president, Joe Pugh, who took over the position because Dave stepped down because he didn't want to censor us. And they basically said, if you don't give up the names of who's doing this, we're going to take away your season tickets and kick you out. And the guy spent a hefty amount of money himself on VIP tickets.
Yeah, he gets the VIP tickets, yeah. So, again, a solid supporter, and he would be held liable for basically anybody organizing a vulgar chant. So, having said all that, there was quite the backlash to all this from the supporters, to the point where it got picked up all over the place. Colby Daniels, a local radio star, picked up the story as it was kind of going down and talked about it on the radio, and they debated it. Our very own Sean Tolbert went on there and talked with him about it.
We love you, Colby. That's it.
We love you, Colby. CDLS, if you don't listen to the franchise, then you don't know what that is, but I think he might actually listen. But
get out.
You get out. So he picked it up. All of a sudden, a News OK article was written about it, and we also had the news do an interview with some of
Channel
us about it.
Channel 4,
so kind of cool, but what wasn't cool in this whole story was that while this whole backlash was happening, they released... the Energy released on their Facebook a post basically saying, oh, we're dealing with this. We want our stadium to be – we basically follow MLS standards, which is freaking laughable because I don't know if the people who made the decision have ever been to an MLS stadium, but I've been to quite a few of them, and they cuss there in their chants. They don't put the cursing on their chant sheets that they put on their, you know, internet website and stuff, but they curse.
Oh, yes, they do. They do.
I mean, the two of the biggest supporters groups in the whole entire MLS, the Emerald City Supporters for Seattle Sounders and Timbers Army for the Portland Timbers, they both cuss.
They curse. In fact, Seattle has chants about drinking beer and fighting and killing people. And then Portland has a chant about putting people up against the wall and shooting them. All acceptable.
At least they don't have cursing in them. Not only that, but if you look at the Beer Guardians, their capos, or is it capo? Capo?
Capo.
Capos. They lead the chants. They just don't use the vulgarities. Meanwhile, everybody else in the stands does.
Well, that's because security's not gonna you know, kick everyone over there out. Security's just gonna basically say capos, and
they're gonna police the capos.
Right, and that's fair because you shouldn't try and control everybody in the stadium. Now, again, if you want to pretend that you are behind MLS standards and that's what you're going for, then you should at least know what those standards are, because it sounds like you're just trying to hide behind a league that we're not even in, okay? Listen, I want to have an MLS team just as bad as anybody, but last I checked, are we in the MLS?
We're not.
And it was also brought up that the standard was no different than AO. Well, I don't know if you've ever been to United States of America game in soccer, but they also cuss. Can anybody vouch for me there?
Can I ask a question real quick? Do we have any Oklahoma City American Allies officers on this podcast?
I'm one.
Oh, crazy. I know. What?
Edward,
you guys would never.
Edward, do we curse?
Just a little bit.
A little
maybe like every other chant.
Maybe just a smidgen.
Yes, and so, you know, out of all this, there's multiple issues. So those who listen, who are just kind of listening for the first time, hopefully because they heard about everything that was going on, or I guess those who listen just for the soccer stuff, they don't know what's going on. There are multiple levels to this. It's not cursing just for cursing's sake, and that's what I tried to tell everybody that would listen to me. When I talked to the lady from News Channel 4, I said it's not like we want to go out there and just curse like sailors. That is not what it has to deal with at all. The fact is there was zero attempt to compromise with us on this. It was just an about-face.
Yeah, everybody that I've talked to about this, you know, people come up to me and they're like, oh, are you in the grid, blah, blah, blah. They almost want to make fun of us for, like, causing such a big deal about cussing at a game. It wasn't just the cursing at the game. It was just that they gave us an ultimatum for either do this or don't do this or you're out of the game.
Yes, and for those out there who aren't season, don't stand with us or don't go to every game, it's really disrespectful when these fans that go to every game and are there when there's tornado warnings and we're getting rained on and we're rained on head to toe, and we're the last 10 to 15 people that are at a game and still there. It's offensive to us because we care about it, and there are people out there who don't complain about our language that love that we're there.
Yeah, I mean, we've traveled to Dallas, we've traveled to Tulsa, we'd probably go even farther than that. Like you said, we stood in torrential downpours.
St. Louis. I was trying to go to St. Louis until all this. I might not now.
But the point is,
these
are your most dedicated fans that you just basically said that they weren't more than the people who will come to a game or maybe two a season. Not to mention the fact that at the game on Saturday, the OC game, we had a family in front of us that brought a small child to the game who they promised would be a lot of cheering and that it would be a fun time.
She sat him with us specifically, too, is what she said.
Yes. Yes.
And her child and I don't know, maybe her boyfriend, husband, I don't know what he was, but specifically with us so that he can get wild and crazy with us.
Yes, because you know what that mother does? Parents him, and just because she hears bad words doesn't mean that he can say them. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Like, is this wrong? Am I wrong in believing that? Or
this is a parenting issue, not a grid issue.
It is. It's a parenting issue.
Well, I mean, we on social media, we got a couple of different people that were saying, yeah, I'm not bothered by it, and I bring my children to the games multiple times because you know why? I use it as a teaching situation, an opportunity to tell my kids, hey, I don't agree with this. I don't curse. They do, and that's fine. They're good people, and you know what? You shouldn't do this either.
And they love the atmosphere, it should be mentioned, too. That's why they take them there.
Yeah, and that atmosphere wasn't there for the last game, and so the family ended up leaving because the kid wanted to have a good time and get here and get rowdy with us.
He was bored.
There was a family down in Dallas that Daniel and I met at the USA game last week that they said they were listeners to the pod. They listen, you know, they're not active with the grid, but they told us how much fun they had. And their kids were, how old was that girl? She was probably 12.
12 or 13,
And then there was another one that was a little older. But, I mean, they're not going home from there and expecting their little girl to cuss at their parents because they heard it at an energy game. I mean, they're teaching her the difference between
what's appropriate and what isn't, and when it's appropriate and when it isn't.
Who was it? Somebody said it at the tailgate this weekend that they met a family that was sitting off towards the side. They got their tickets not in the grid, and they spoke with them, and they brought them over into the grid for one of the home games in the past. And they had a great time, and they actually ended up traveling with us down to Dallas.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, this, we create was, fans.
Yeah, those, that's that was a family that with
is
children.
Lost in all of this. I mean, we had, what, 20, 30 people at the beginning of last season, and now we have close to 100 at a good game. And that's us. That's not... That's not the front office doing anything. That's us doing it.
In one of our groups alone on social media, and this is talking about active people within it, there's like 134 members there.
Right. Right.
And that's one of our groups. That's not the main group. That's just, you know, like a smaller group of people that are actually active and speak about it.
We can talk about this all day. I just think it's – if you think of our chance, and this is what I did in the interview now for News Channel 4. They did like 10 seconds of my interview, and it was basically like nothing that was important at all in what I said. But something that I did say was that if you look at our atmosphere and the chance that we do compared to some of the things that I've heard at other games, we're tame. We are very tame. Now, is there room for compromise in some of the chance that we do? Absolutely, and I don't think any of us were ever disagreeing that there couldn't be. But we didn't even get a chance for that.
Speaking of compromise, I threw out there on Facebook, hey, if you guys have any questions about what's going to be talked about, go ahead and throw them out there. We'll discuss them. Jim Jackson, he was very vocal. He said in one of his posts, there's been a lot of talk of compromise, which, of course, is two-sided. What would you guys, as supporters, be willing to do on your end with this whole thing?
Or anybody answers, because I know there's good ideas out there. I just want to point out that I don't have any hope for compromise in this meeting. I don't think that they're going to backtrack and make themselves look bad after one of the owners got on TV and said we want to be good to everybody and listen to everybody. I don't think that we're going to be able to have any compromise there. I just don't. So if you disagree, go for it.
No, I don't disagree at all. I completely agree. I think that, you know, they've already announced their stance. They're going to stick with that stance, and there's not going to be any compromise. So right now, I think it's all on them. We don't have any say.
But if we were to come up with a compromise, Daniel, I think had a pretty sensible one that was very democratic, you know.
So let me preface this by saying that I will say maybe a couple cuss words here in this next little section just to discuss the chance. So if that offends you, then you can just turn it off, or you can teach your kids that these are bad words and you shouldn't say them. So in this whole compromise, it came to me that there was a few chants in particular that really just got everybody up in arms. One was the YSA chant, or the "You Suck Asshole" chant, that happens after the opposing goalie takes a goal kick. Now, I would love to see if they were going to go and talk to the Hispanic fans who do puto after every goal kick, because I don't think they will. And you can even see that in MLS stadiums and in places around the United States, that they'll go after that chant, but not the ones that they say it, because it's in Spanish and somehow that's better. Anyways, I'm digressing.
We should learn it in Spanish.
We should learn all of our customer chants in Spanish. So. Anyways, the YSA chant was one of them. Then there was the Adams Family chant. The Sparrow chant and the
Pendle chant. The corner kicks.
The corner. Oh yeah, which is it's the dumbest thing I ever heard. So, anyways, my idea was compromising this way. We get rid of the YSA chant. I think that's fair. We get rid of the Addams Family chant, which is fair also, because I'll even admit that one is...
It's gratuitous.
It is a bit gratuitous.
But such a great chant.
It's a great chant.
I mean, we love all of these chants, but we're willing to not do them anymore as long as we're given some concessions, you know?
And here's the deal, like, all of our friends in England... The thousands of them that listen to this podcast are laughing at us that we're even willing to do this. I think it should be said because culture like this is in soccer everywhere. So it's just that it happens to be a white collar or like a blue collar sport
it's
there.
A working
and it's
class,
white, it's a working class game there. It's not a working class game here. And I can understand that. So anyways, we give up the YSA. We give up the Addams Family chant, but that's it. And we won't introduce any chants that have vulgarity in them. So if we make a new chant that we haven't already had, we won't put vulgarity in it. I think that's very fair. But we get to keep the ones that we do because the other chants, the Come On City score a goal, it says we'll go effing mental. Not directed at anybody. It's not saying you are an effing idiot or whatever.
We're going to shoot you with some guns.
Right. It's not directed cursing.
We're using it as an action.
Yes. And the Sparrow chant is about being a bird and shitting. So I don't really understand how that offends anybody. I don't understand how that is overtly vulgar.
Well, first of all,
it's because we're in Oklahoma and Christian us.
Yeah, not only that. Basically what all that states is that we're willing to give up a few, but there are others that we do actually cuss. Who ate all the pies? Build a bonfire.
Do you consider bastard a cuss word, or do you consider that overtly vulgar? Because I don't.
Well, and we also need to talk about the definition between vulgarity and profanity.
And I'm going to say that
because vulgarity means common.
I'm going to say we profanity who ate all the pies
is different.
Tyler, I'm going to say we only do who ate all the pies during the Tulsa games.
For Ochoa?
For Ochoa.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
can't even last
games?
A 90-minute match.
How many other
10
games
matches,
do we...
Ochoa. Come on, man. Get
Yeah,
Maybe
you're right.
He had 10 matches to
Hit
get in
the
shape. Oh,
the only other time we do that one is when Aaron Ellis is in town. Got him.
Got him.
We miss you, Aaron. So, yes, what was the other one that you mentioned? Because I don't think that's overtly
build
vulgar
a bonfire
at all. I don't even think bastard is considered a curse word, is it?
Well, build a bonfire. Build a bonfire does say
we'll burn the effing lot.
Yeah.
That's vulgar and like directed towards somebody.
You should just be
a city. Right.
If you were more clever, you would understand that burn
the
entire lot. Is,
yeah,
a much smarter way to say that.
Yeah,
freaking idiot.
You know, also it just flows a lot better in linguistics. Burn the entire lot,
dude. Here's the thing, guys. If there's no compromise coming out of this, it's going to be very hard for me to not to go to a game and still be trying to be crazy without cussing. But here's the deal. If I ever let a chant where I said burn the entire lot instead of effing lot, I'm going to kick my own ass straight up. Like, I don't see a way out of it.
I will help you.
Thank you.
Listen, the thing is, we haven't come up with a chant that had curse words in it since the beginning of this season.
Right,
yeah,
since the beginning of last season.
Every single chant that we've come up with has been a chant about a player. We came up with one about Peter Toth. We came up with one about Evan Newton.
He's tall. He's mean. He comes from Hungary.
Peter Toth.
We did the Danny Koenig, and we're coming up with
yeah,
others.
We have two for
Danny Koenig now. Hey, that one was good.
It's just these are like...
Well done, Matt Crane.
These
well
chants
done.
Are the staple of professional soccer experiences. I mean, you couldn't go to an America... like a USA game or any MLS game or any English Premier League game without seeing, like listening to one of these chants.
I think the worst part about this whole thing is that last season, our first season, they were putting signs up around our section that basically said, it's not a family friendly area, but these guys go crazy in here. They cuss, they yell, they scream. And this season it's like, hey, you guys brought all these fans, but now you have to be quiet. You can't yell and cuss and scream anymore.
And let me add to that, because I've said this to anybody that will listen. I had somebody from the front office that I met with, and I gave great ideas about what some other teams in the MLS, since they want to have MLS standard, what they do to alleviate these concerns. And they didn't do a single one of them. They even stopped warning people about or putting signs up about what goes on in our section. So, yes, when mom, you know, brings junior son of a bitch to the game, like...
And buys the cheapest tickets or some of the cheapest tickets.
They're going to be with us.
Some of the cheapest tickets, they're going to be with us. They're going to be with...
But here's the crux of the deal. This is the vocal minority, okay? Somebody who likes what we're doing and somebody who comes to the game for our atmosphere is not going to fill out a fan survey and say, hey, I love the grid atmosphere. I hope they keep cussing. What they're going to do is they're going to continue to show up to the games is what they're going to do. People who are happy don't fill out surveys. People who are angry fill out surveys. That's just the way surveys work.
As soon as more games are like last Saturday's games, they're going to lose 100% of their attendance because nobody wants to sit there in silence the whole game.
No.
Yeah. It's just made me really disappointed that I bought two season tickets so that I could bring someone to every game. And now I'm like, I'm skeptical about going to the games now.
There are 150, 140 members of the grid.
Unofficial, official too. Like,
right. Well, in the grid fan page Facebook, there's 140 members, and I'm going to guarantee you there's 138 tickets bought in that group of 140. Right.
That could show up to every game.
Yeah.
Or if they don't, they give it to somebody that can go.
Right. And a lot of those people are just like Tyler. Well, they bought two or three or four tickets each so that they could take their family or their friends or whoever else doesn't have a ticket.
Well, let me tell you something, Tyler. You're not a valued customer because not only did we do a silent protest, but we didn't even do it in our section because they took the seats out to install the track. And here's the deal about that. The VIP tent still made it. How wonderful for the VIPs. Yeah, another great idea. Let's put the people who spend the most money next to the people who go
spend
crazy.
The least amount.
Let's put the rich people
historically,
next to the
people. That's always worked.
Always. What a great idea. Just chocked full of great ideas. But I was very excited to see that not only did the VIP tent make it, but it made it in the spot where our seats would be. So instead of us standing up against the barriers, we can't stand up against the barriers in our stadium, but the rich people can because they are hanging over the barriers all game. I guess we're just a liability, really. Second rate.
Drinkers.
Because we're not rich.
Makes me angry.
Yeah.
I'm buying VIP tickets next season.
Just for a second.
And I'm gonna sit with the grid every game, but I'm just going to spend the money so that whenever they kick us out of our section again, I can still go stand there.
I mean, I don't...
This keeps up. I don't know if I'm buying any tickets next season.
I don't know if I'm buying any.
A lot of people.
That's going to be a lot of people. But unfortunately, I'm not sure that is how everybody's going to feel.
No, but we can just as easily watch the game from the bar, where we can do everything that we'd like to do.
I know that you don't think a lot of people are going to feel that way, but I think a lot of the people that are in our section would rather watch it from somewhere that they can speak on and cheer than they would sit at a stadium silently like they did last Saturday.
I hope so, man, because it would be a gut punch if not only did we not get any compromise, but... I mean, nothing really changed. They just told us sorry, and that was the end of it. And just deal
and
with it or
food.
Don't.
You think food's the way to my heart?
Yes.
Well, that's one of them. When you write, you write.
What else did Jim have to say? Because I have inside info on this last one I was told I could share.
Okay, Jim continued, and he said, also, I'd like reactions from the post-game. Meaning, how you felt about the player's response to the grid. From what I saw, he only saw one player acknowledge the grid after the game.
It was his best friend, wasn't
it? Yeah, which is apparently... I didn't know him and Kyle Gregg were best friends. But
he wishes.
Yeah. Just
sorry,
messing.
Jim.
Well,
love
not
you, Jim.
Sort of messing.
Jim, we should all go hang out sometime. You,
said,
me, Kyle.
He
said, are they mad at the grid? Do they only acknowledge us when we verbally support them the whole game? Are they against the reason we were silent? And Were they told by the front office, just basically ignore us?
Yes.
So, no, they weren't. I talked to Michael Thomas about this, and he told me it was okay to share.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. Well, oh, and I do want to note that Michael Thomas acknowledged us quite a few times because I was fanboying while I was there in the stadium. Right, Tyler? You were there while I was doing
it. Yep, we were sitting right there. He would turn Legend. To us. He'd clap. He'd give us a thumbs up. He'd, you know, acknowledge us, give us a nod.
Yes, and so I talked to Michael and I asked him, you know, what happened after the game, because I did too also notice that the players went straight off the field, and he told me that that was the angriest he has ever been after a game, and he didn't even think about it, and he's pretty sure that most of the players were as upset as he was, and they didn't think about it either, and he felt really bad, so I wanted to share that because I don't think they did it egregiously at all.
I'm okay with him saying that, but I'm going to tell you that every game we've played at home, that we've been there standing and screaming and yelling the whole game, every player comes over and every coach comes over. So he can say whatever he wants. I'm going to tell you, if you guys were loud the whole time, at least half the team was over there clapping and saying whatever.
That's true. But Jimmy and Coach Richie came over after the game.
Richie loves us, but Jimmy usually comes all the way over and at least says something to us, especially pre-Tulsa, and he didn't this time. So
yeah. He's got to ride the fence on this one. I don't blame him.
Yeah. I wish he wouldn't. He's Jimmy. He's Jimmy.
I really believe if we were loud the whole time, they would have come over and clapped and, you know, thanked us for being there. They just forget about people that are quiet the whole time, which is why they always only come to our section.
Right. And that's very fair. That's very fair. I don't think there was a whole lot of I guess
there's no coincidence there.
I just don't think they were trying to do it on purpose.
We were just quiet.
I mean, we were just like any other section. Yeah. Except, and I guess I'm going back and forth on it a little bit because I want to believe MT, but we were loud right at the end of the game. Surely they heard us, yes?
Yeah, but they're not going to come over. They're not going to come over and thank you for being loud for two game. I mean, you were as loud. I can't say that. People cheered in the stands whenever they were throwing t-shirts, and that was pretty much it. I mean, we were loud at the very end. That was it. So why would they spend their time to come over and thank us for being there? We're only going to cheer the last 2 minutes of the game.
That's fair. Good points are raised. Good points are raised, but I do want to point out what MT said, and also that MT acknowledged us multiple times. During the game, after both of the goals, he came over, he kind of jogged over to his side and clapped and gave us the thumbs up. And so I do want to acknowledge that. I guess we'll never really know, but I mean, it's difficult for them. I mean, obviously now we all know how important it is to them. I mean, that's a good thing, right? Because sometimes you wonder how much what you do affects the game, right?
Well, I mean, it may be a coincidence. It's not, but we had some of our, other than the goals we scored, some of our greatest chances in the last 4 minutes of that game.
Or when we were yelling, yep. And, you know, this is well-timed by them because it really puts us in a freaking hard place to be, because what are we, I mean, like, are we going to be silent against Tulsa? Like, do we have to, is it going to go that far? Like, because I don't want it to, but if they just go give us the shaft, then what else are we supposed to do? Like, what else is going to make a difference to them?
What I'm going to do if they give us the shaft is I'm going to go to the Tulsa game, and I'm going to be quiet the whole time, just like we were last Saturday, and then we're burning our season ticket. That's the last game I'm going to go.
I like it. Let's see what happened Wednesday. What do you think, Ty?
I'm burning Tyler's season tickets all
Yeah, time. he said he's gonna pay me to do it. So.
Yep. Just in case you're listening, Energy, we have like quite a few people that are down for a lake day and burning all of our tickets.
Yeah, so the next home game we're talking, the next home game is when we will have our lake day, and instead we'll just barbecue that night.
Sounds good.
Jump in a lake full of turtles.
I would say,
if it were me, I'd go the exact opposite of Eddie. I'd go
buck wild crazy one last game and then never go back.
Yeah, by like the fifth minute.
Oh, that's a good call. If nothing happens on Wednesday, we should all drink no beer We should just get stupid loud for the beginning of the Tulsa match until they kick us out. They have to kick us out for cussing and not for drinking public intox.
Well, I know for sure that we'll get probably five or six, I don't know how many officers are, at least four out of whatever they are, will get kicked out as well, because I know for sure Joe isn't going to give us up. I mean, he's already told me this much, and everybody else, I don't think they are either. So
I'd give myself up.
Joe didn't do it. It was me.
Please,
I'm Spartacus.
Yes. Please, let's do that, and then the whole section just gets escorted out. Can you imagine how much bad press would be for that?
Mass exodus.
That'd be so great. Okay, so you guys have anything else to add to all this that's going on? I feel like we've talked about it quite a bit, but we do have a meeting on Wednesday, 7 p.m., that where we're going to speak with the front office, and hopefully they're actually willing to compromise. I think what we're doing is more than fair, and so we'll see what happens. So all I can say is Tulsa's going to be a fun game. Don't miss it.
You mentioned earlier something about them, you know, talking to us. They didn't even take the time to talk to us, and that's the only thing, like, I'm mostly disappointed about. They're just approach us, say, hey, look, here's how we want it to go. Let's talk. And don't set us up for an intervention meeting. The best way to talk to us most likely is going to be, hey, let's go to the Skinny's and have a beer type of setting.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to actually be that, but that type of setting, you know, that type of ordeal, not.
What's crazy is before last season, that's exactly how everybody approached us about energy coming. They took us to Fox and Hound one night. We met at Skinny's one night. I mean,
before the game, or before the season this year, you met Jason Hawkins at, what was it, Speakeasy?
Republic,
yeah. And you guys tried to hash it out.
That's what I'm saying.
I tried to hash it out.
Yeah, I would just like to include one little tidbit of a quote that was said by Jason Hawkins himself at the Energy fan meeting before the season even began. And it is in regards to the language. He said, and I quote, "We're not the Gestapo. We're not there to be a killjoy and not let people enjoy it in their own environment." And then he continues to speak about how we have so much more space in our new stadium, and that it shouldn't be an issue because they have more room to work with. They can put families as far away from us as they need to be, and they have room to work with it.
I guess maybe they didn't expect such a huge growth with us.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree a little bit with some points that people have made online. You know, whenever there's 150 of us all singing the same song and we drop the F-bomb somewhere in it, it echoes a lot further than if Ryan were to just yell the F-word by himself from the middle of all of us. But
have you heard Ryan? Have you heard him?
I can get pretty loud.
But I will say that, you know, he's going back on everything he said at the beginning of the going back on everything that he said all of last season. I mean, they're acting like the Gestapo now. They're basically telling us
they're being a real killjoy. I'm like, that's not a joke. That is a quote from Jason Hawkins. It's on YouTube. It's a meeting that they put on YouTube.
It's in the 29th minute.
29th minute, 29.
Wow. Now they're going to delete it. Thanks a lot.
Tyler, we didn't hear anything you just said, but he said, "Now they're going to delete it. Thanks a lot." So, in case you guys wanted to know,
he did. Yeah, now they're going to delete it twice.
They're probably going to backtrack it. So,
that's something of the Gestapo would do.
Yes.
Via the KGB, we will be asking the questions.
We will be asking the questions.
I actually just have one more thing to do. So, before we go ahead and close this thing out, I just kind of think that we should do something, and we kind of talked about it here. We're going to go ahead and take a nice little shot to the front office, to everything you've done to and for us.
Mostly to.
Fuck the front office.
Oh no. Jeez, really? Anyway, cheers.
Hopefully Matt can get one of those beeping noises and cheers.
I'm not cheersing right now. I already took my shot. I'm not cheersing in the front office.
Yeah, he took it like 20 minutes ago. We all saw it.
What a clown.
Poor form, sorry. Daniel. Poor not cheersing to it. I tried. I'm pissed.
Oh, but I thought there was more left in the bottle. So
I'm pissed. That was my excuse. I don't want to take a shot for the front office. I'll cheers to literally anything else.
No, he's joking. He literally did not know.
I didn't take mine to the front office.
He took it.
Anyways,
find a mute button for that. Anyways, we appreciate you guys listening this week. Again, we'll meet Wednesday. We hope to see you guys on Saturday for the Tulsa game. Hopefully, we'll have found a good compromise that we can come to. So, if you guys don't already follow us on Twitter, at Jimmy's Army Pod, Facebook, Jimmy's Army Podcast, same name for the Instagram. Hopefully, we can get some pictures at the meeting and put some on Instagram. That'd be kind of cool. But we'll do that. We'll argue for the good guys, and you guys have a good week.